On September 15, 1963, members of the civil rights community in Anniston, Alabama, had good reason to feel hopeful. The city had recently appointed a biracial human relations council composed of 9 local ministers to help guide the city through those dangerous times. It was such a radical step in its day that President John Kennedy took notice. He sent the group his personal congratulations and began mentioning Anniston in speeches as a model for other cities to follow. Strictly by chance, September 15th had long been planned by the Biracial Council as the day that Anniston would quietly and secretly take the first step of desegregating its public library. The ministers had no idea how badly their plans were about to go wrong.
Man, you don't know what it was like in this town.
Reverend Bob McLean, a native of nearby Gadsden, had just been named pastor of Anniston's Haven Chapel United Methodist Church. He was 24 years old, newly married, fresh out of seminary in Boston, and was committed to changing Anniston's oppressive racial climate.
I expected the Methodist preachers to welcome me with open arms. They wouldn't even talk to me on the telephone, let alone come to the office.
After striking out with the Methodists, McLean telephoned all of the city's white Baptist pastors, with the same result. Somehow, he got the name of Reverend J. Phillips Noble, pastor of Anniston's First Presbyterian Church.
It was an emotional time from the standpoint that so many terrible things were happening in the South because I knew it was wrong, but I wasn't really doing anything, you see.
From the beginning, McLean and Noble was the most unlikely of partnerships. A young black firebrand and a middle-aged, white, soft-spoken moderate born and raised on a farm in Mississippi. But somehow, the two hit it off. This past weekend, McLean and Noble were reunited for the first time in 40 years at a civil rights symposium hosted by the Anniston Public Library to celebrate the publication of Noble's new memoir, Beyond the Burning Bus, from New South Books in Montgomery. The title refers to one of the darkest headlines of Anniston's history, when members of the Ku Klux Klan ambushed a busload of freedom riders in 1962. Noble's book also contains the untold story of the dramatic events in Anniston on September 15, 1963, that would forever be overshadowed by Birmingham's tragedy. As McLean says in the preface he wrote for Noble's book, he remembers vividly the day that he and fellow black pastor Nimrod Reynolds of Anniston's 17th Street Baptist Church first met with Noble.
We said, well, we'll just tell him the way it is. Tell him what's happening, tell him the way we feel, and lay it out before him and see if he's a Christian. We talked about the no jobs, we talked about discrimination, we talked about segregation, we had colored wet restrooms and waiting rooms.
When they said what I already knew, the burden of segregation and the dehumanization of discrimination that was taking place, it was moving. It was moving.
We looked up and Phil said, brothers, let's pray. Tears were coming down my eyes and down Nimrod's eyes. And we looked up and Phil was crying. I'd never seen a white man cry about black folks before.
All three men would soon become members of the Human Relations Council, with Phil Noble as its chairman. Fast forward to September 15th, when McLean and Reynolds were chosen to drive downtown that afternoon and desegregate the city's main library.
And I remember our discussion. Do you, Phil? We said, well, this will be the easiest. Do you remember, Phil?
Yes, I do.
Realize what we're talking about. We just heard this morning that a 16th Street Baptist Church has been bombed. Black girls have been killed in Birmingham.
We were going to see that the library was integrated to say the city is going to run itself and the hoodlums are not going to determine what happens and what we do in this city.
I got up to the first landing. I looked and I saw a lot of people. And I looked and from every direction there were men, white men, coming at us. I could see them coming from cars and from back of the library and from every direction. The newspaper said there were 75 of them. I don't know how many they were. It looked like thousands.
Chains and knives and yep. Clubs.
Niggas, that kind of just hate stuff.
Reynolds was the first to hit the concrete, bleeding badly. McLean was able to ward off the blows long enough to drag him back to their car.
A shot fired came through the glass of the automobile once they got in and landed in the seat right in front of you.
Right behind my neck. Right behind. So we got out of the car, and I literally carried Dimrod as we ran down the street. I don't know how we got out of there, to tell you the truth. I really don't know why and how Dimrod and I are alive.
It's providence, God's providence.
As word of the pastor's beatings spread throughout the city, people from the black community began gathering at Reverend Reynolds' church, a crowd of hundreds that soon grew to more than 1,000. Reynolds was in bed from his injuries, so the task of speaking to the angry crowd fell to McLean.
There were more people outside of 17th Street Baptist Church that night than were inside. And the people came with guns and knives and everything else. They were ready to come and rip this town apart. I urged them that night not to go into town. We know you got the guns. We know you got the power. Please, brothers and sisters, we're not going to turn into violent people. We're Christian. They heard.
I have said so many times that white people ought to be so grateful that the leaders of this civil rights revolution were ministers like Martin Luther King and Bob and Nimrod and others. You could have had other kind of people leading it that would have had bloodbaths all over.
Although Anniston would face other racial struggles in the months to come, there was a widespread feeling that the city had somehow turned a corner that night. Even today, McLean says, as he travels the country preaching and lecturing, people sometimes come up to him afterward to talk about that long ago Sunday.
Occasionally, someone will come up to me and say, you know, I'm from Anniston, Alabama. I'm ashamed of what happened to you and Reverend Reynolds. I say, we did what we had to do. I hope you are now working at changing things like that wherever you are. And I believe that. I believe that if you are serious about being a Christian or serious about being an American, we ought to make sure that everybody has freedom and liberty and nobody's discriminated against. This is a great country, but it can go down too.
Jesus is the rock, and he is my shelter in the time of storm. Oh, 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 yes, in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm.
For WBHM, I'm Dale Short.